Amen. How are you guys? Thank you, Pastor Dane, for that wonderful introduction. I said this in first service. If you have any gripes with it, Pastor Johanna would love to talk to you about it after service. If you know, she's all about it. So, hi, guys. My name is Ethan. As Pastor Dane said, I'm the youth pastor here. I'm super excited to be here. So I'll just preface this for you guys. First service, I got a little emotional. I love God. I love the Spirit of God. I love, you know, just being in His presence. And I know the weight of being up here. I know the weight of it. I know the accountability that I'm held to give you guys accurate teachings. And I don't take it lightly. And so I want you to know, God's got something big, at least for me. You guys can, whatever you guys want to do. But He's got something big for today. This is our third week in our Galatians series. Sorry, I'm not super hyped up as I normally am. This is our third week in our Galatians series. It's been incredibly powerful so far. I feel like Galatians is a really in-your-face kind of book. We're not even to chapter 2 yet. And just last week, Pastor Dane spoke some hard truths into our lives. And the Spirit was working through him, and he did an incredible job. Amen? You guys remember that? It was so good. So good. The book of Galatians is written by Paul to the church to a couple of churches that he started in Galatia, believe it or not. Pastor Dane showed us Galatia is modern-day Turkey. So if you are unlike me and know your world map, picture Turkey, and that's where Galatia is. And so there you go. He wrote these letters because he was working on recentering the church back on Christ. They had drifted away. I think it's the book of Jude at the end of the talks about how there are people that sneak in to your camp, right, that are ungodly. Well, there's these people that snuck in, and they were teaching and trying to disqualify and discredit Paul and the gospel. And these group of people were called the Judaizers. And the Judaizers taught that the completed work on the cross from Jesus was actually not completed. It wasn't enough, right? They said, if you want to follow Jesus and you want to be a Christian, you need to believe in Jesus and get circumcised. It was Jesus plus this. And these guys are not the only people to have ever done it, as Pastor Dane showed us. It continues on into history. But here at New Life, here we believe in the completed work of the cross. That when Jesus said that it was finished, he meant it. Yeah. There is nothing that we can do, nothing that we can add, nothing that we bring to the table for our salvation. And so the passage that we are reading today, Paul kind of addresses something that every single one of us in here have struggled with at some point, and that is having confidence in our calling from God. And so, there's a difference, let's be honest, there's a difference between confidence and cocky, right? Confidence is assurance built through experience, and cockiness is arrogance produced by lack of discipline. And where we see the lines kind of blurred in this the most is with guys. I'm just being honest. You meet a lot of confident guys that aren't confident. They're just cocky. You would ask me back in the day, Ethan, are you a confident guy? And I said, yeah, I'm confident. Look at me. I got that swag. This is 2015, guys. I had the ribbed jogger pants. You guys know what I'm talking about. So tough. I got it. I'm confident. I wasn't confident. I was deeply insecure. I was really just cocky. And in fact, I was arrogant to the point of I didn't know when to shut my mouth. And that led me getting into a lot of fights, both physically and emotionally. And I know you look up here and you're like, man, Ethan, you look like you could hold your own. No, I lost every single one of them. I was not good. I just got really used to getting punched in the face. That's what it was. I got wrecked, man. Real confidence didn't come up until I learned discipline, until I understood that I don't know everything and that I couldn't do life on my own. And that confidence only grew through experience. In the same way, our confidence in God grows through walking with Him, not just knowing about Him. You can know about God and completely miss Him. We see that in the New Testament with the Pharisees. They completely missed the Messiah. Today, I believe Scripture is going to stir in our hearts to walk with God in greater confidence. And it's through our experience with Him, not the knowledge of biblical history. Experience trumps over knowledge. If you open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1, we are going to be in verses 10 through 24. And right now we're going to actually read just 10 through 12. And it says this, "For now am I seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." I preached this verse a couple months ago to my youth students, not that they would remember. This verse right here is like one of my life verses, guys. This is bars. Verse 10, that's hard. "Of course I'm not doing this to appease you," is what he's saying. "I'm not doing this for you guys. I'm doing this because I have a calling of Christ. I'm doing it to be a servant of God." That's hard. I don't know who. If we all followed this verse right here and really lived it out, man, there'd be no stopping us. We're not here to please man. We're here to be servants of God. Anyways, let's move on. Verse 11 says, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel.
Yes.
For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Let's break down what he's saying here. This right here, in my hands, the Bible's in your lap, on your phone, this is not man's gospel.
Yep.
It was written by man, but inspired and breathed out by God. That's what it is. If this was man's gospel, it wouldn't be so countercultural. The gospel goes against everything that the world tells you.
Yes.
It does. The world says to get money and to raise your status and to build a profit and to hire yourself. The Bible says don't do that. Be a servant and the first will be last and the last shall be first. The world says, hey man, if somebody hurts you, cut them off because you deserve better. And the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says to love your enemies and to pray for those who persecute you. The world says to sleep around until you find somebody that you're attracted to and you can call that love. But the Bible says to save yourself for marriage and that love is not a feeling, but it is a choice. It is an action. The world says do what feels good, look out for yourself. And the Bible says to deny your flesh. The Bible says to pick up your cross daily and follow Christ. Do you know what that means? It's not just saying, God, thank you for this day. Give me a good day. Amen. It means I am a sinner and I crucify myself with Christ on the cross. This is picking up your cross daily. I don't care what my needs are. I care about God. This is denying your flesh. This is what it means. The Bible goes against everything that the world says. This is how we know it is not a message from man, but from God, because if it were from man, it would follow what the world says. Build yourself up. Do good deeds. Do this, do that. Work yourself up to get to God. The gospel's not that. The gospel is we could never work ourselves up to get to God. And so God loving us, he came down to us. This is the gospel. And it's impossible to live out the gospel if you've not been changed by the power of God. You can do some good things. You can give back. You can work at shelters and give back to the homeless and do some good things. You can let somebody in on traffic instead of speeding up. But you can only get so far before your world, your heart, and your temptations fall back into the world. Without the Spirit of God, you cannot live out the gospel truly. If you want to live out the gospel truly, you need to be completely changed by Christ. And when you are truly encounter God, when you truly see the light, it changes who you are. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new is here. A new creation means you're completely changed. It doesn't mean part of you is changed.
Yes.
You can put new tires on a car, doesn't make it a new car. It's true. If you are a new creation, you're completely, utterly new. Dane shared a story this morning with the worship team about the blind man who was healed by Jesus, and he goes into the temple. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders are like, who even is this man? This cannot be the blind man that was sitting begging. They couldn't recognize him because his encounter with Jesus truly changed who he was. It's the truth. When you encounter the living God, you are not the same. You could never be. Paul was fully and completely changed by his encounter with Jesus. That is why he has confidence in his message. He wasn't confident based off of his knowledge of biblical history. It wasn't based off of someone's teachings. He was confident because he had an encounter with the living God. Can I tell you, the most powerful way to share the gospel is with your testimony. Say, I once was dead in my sin. I once was addicted to this. I once broke this relationship. I once was dark in a dark corner. I once was depressed, anxious, hurt, angry. I once was a sinful man, and yet Jesus met me where I was in my darkness, in my pits, and he gave me new life, he gave me new breath, and he made me a new creation. Your testimony is the gospel lived out today. No one can argue with your testimony. In fact, Revelation 12 verse 11 says this, it says, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. We have overcome this world by the blood that was spilled for us on the cross and by the word of our testimony. Have confidence in your encounter with Jesus, because this is the gospel. Romans 5:8 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. These scriptures are talking about you. While you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. When you accepted Jesus, you now have everlasting life. Your testimony is the gospel. You don't need to know the Bible verses, memorize every Bible verse. You don't need to have read this from cover to cover. If you have been changed by Christ, if you are a new creation, you should have confidence in your encounter with the living God. It's the truth. Because your encounter, your past, your hurt, your sin, everything that led up to it points to the cross. Your past points to the cross. You may think, man, you don't even know. If people knew the darkness that I was in, people knew the hurt that I have caused, the anger that I've held, the hatred, the lust in my heart. If people knew the pain, the broken relationships, the things that I've tried, they would not listen to me. You're right, I don't know. But there is one who saw it all. There is one who heard it all. There is one who was walking in this earth and died for those dark moments in your life, and he still calls you son, he still calls you daughter, he still calls you beloved. God does not call qualified people. If he did, you wouldn't have any pastors up here. He doesn't. He calls sinners. He calls outcasts. He calls the broken, and he qualifies who he calls. If you continue reading in Galatians 13 through 24, it says this, "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism and how I persecuted the church of God violently, tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my father. But he who had set me apart before I was born and who had called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I may preach him among the Gentiles. I do not immediately consult with anyone, nor do I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. There, then, after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him for 15 days. But I saw none other of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And what I'm writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They were only hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and he glorified God because of me." Paul was violently persecuting Christians. He would drag Christians out by their hair, out of their homes, to the town square to be publicly murdered, to be abused, to be completely and utter dismayed. Paul was doing this. He was coming after Christians. He was coming after you guys. And he was actually on his way to Damascus to kill more Christians when Jesus met him and changed his heart. Paul had one of the most broken, one of the most violent, one of the most disqualifying pasts imaginable, but God stepped in. And God used his past to point people to Christ. And Paul goes on to writing most of the New Testament. Guys, your past does not disqualify your calling, but it, because of God, it glorifies the work of the cross. It's the truth. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 reads this, and it says, As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as for they are today. What the enemy meant for evil, God means for good. That means the addictions that you have battled, the relationships that fell apart, the darkness that you were in, the enemy meant it for you to die there alone. But God meant it for life, to bring light to those around you, to bring light to your neighbors, to bring light to your family, to bring light to your coworkers. God meant what your past for life. Do not be ashamed of your past because it points to the cross. I'm going to invite up our worship team. Today, we are going to enter into a time of response. I don't know if you noticed, we have these rugs placed at the front of our platforms here. They're nothing special. They're just rugs. They're not made of anything special. They're not anointed with anything. But what they do is they represent a special place, the altar. The altar, it represents sitting at the feet of our Father and receiving His presence. And we set them up because here at New Life, we want to develop a time of response every time the Word of God is given. There should be a response, one of two, if not both, repentance or praise. Repentance, because of stirring in your heart, you're far from God and He's calling you home, or praise, because you know the darkness you were once in and He has brought you to the light. Hallelujah. It's the truth. There needs to be a response. And I don't know your story and I don't know your heart. I know there are people in here who have battled darkness and who are in darkness and are living in it for far too long. I know you've tried everything to fill voids. You've turned every direction and you still feel lost. But today, the light of the world is calling you home. I know that there are people in here because I'm people. I'm one of them. Who is so entrapped with shame of their past that they feel like God cannot use you. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the darkness that I've carried. This shame is a chain. It's a lie used by the devil to keep you alone. Shame keeps us from walking in freedom. The Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, there is no condemnation. This means there's no scolding. There's no lecturing. There's no rebuke. If you are in Christ, there is only forgiveness and love and freedom. I think about in Luke 15, the prodigal son. He goes off and he spends all of his parents' money and his dad's money. He says, I wish you were dead. And here he is alone, broke, in a deep place, deep, deep, dark place. And he goes back And he sees his father's house, and it says while he was a long way off that the father was looking for him, and he runs and he meets his son where he is at. And the father doesn't say, "You have a lot of nerve showing up here." The father doesn't say, "Do you know the embarrassment that you've caused me?" The father doesn't say, "Go, you don't belong here." No, the father doesn't say anything. He comes and he embraces his son and he kisses him on the cheek and he says, "My son has returned. Let us celebrate." This is the no condemnation. When you return to your father, shame doesn't have a grip on you anymore. Sin cannot overpower you anymore. You are a new creation. Today, God has freedom for you. I'm going to pray. And after we pray, we're going to have, you could stand and sing this song. You can respond at the altar. I know where I'm going to be. Let's pray. Father, I'm so ashamed of my past. I'm so ashamed of the hurt that I've caused. I'm so unworthy to be here in the throne room of grace, and yet you welcome me home. Father, we thank you. I pray you pull us out of the darkness. I pray you break the chains of shame. Bring us freedom. Glory are you, God. Holy are you, God. Your name. Amen. Will you sing this song with me?